That's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. We'll get to his comments in just a couple seconds here. Sports 1140's Whiskey, Wine, and Fine Spirits Festival, August 19th. California Museum is where it's located. Step back in time and enjoy an opulent party reminiscent of the Great Gatsby era. With samplings of the finest whiskey, wines, and spirits from around the region. Let me get out of that voice. In addition, live entertainment, delicious bites from some of Sacramento's premier restaurants. Get those tickets at khtk.com. Final hour here from Las Vegas. As we've been saying all week, we appreciate you listening to our Summer League coverage. We also very much appreciate Jiffy Lube for making it possible for us to come down here and bring all this fine coverage, and I say fine coverage, to you. Your road trip started Jiffy Lube this summer, JiffyLubeCA.com. So the Board of Governors, guys, has approved some strategic rules geared towards getting rid of HACA, whoever. You just heard from Adam Silver there. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to extend the current rule for away from the ball play fouls applicable to the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. That's now applicable to any overtime in the last 2 minutes of each period. So on inbound situations as well, any defensive foul that occurs before the inbounder releases the ball will be whistled in the same fashion as an away from the play foul committed, which would be a foul, a free throw, and retention of possession. There's
a free throw, not two, right?
A free throw and retention of the ball. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban says, quote, "Rewarding incompetence is never a good business strategy." Adam Silver and the Board of Governors tend to disagree. Here's part of the discussion.
We had a discussion about so-called Hack-a-Shack. We adopted a new rule there. In essence, the rule is now that the last two-minute rule that's been in effect for almost 40 years now is now in effect for the last 2 minutes of every quarter.
Guys, I'll turn it over to you in a second because I am so split on this. I see both sides. I see the side, the Jeff Van Gundy side, we'll call it, which is, it's bad basketball. It's bad for the fan. It's ugly. It looks stupid. I do not disagree with that. But I get exactly what Mark Cuban's saying. I really do. Why are you rewarding incompetence?
Well, hold on. I mean, what's the true incompetence?
Not being able to make a free throw.
Well, not being able to make free throws or not being able to properly defend. I mean, like if you go to the hack a player strategy, you're basically throwing in the towel on defense. And you're saying, you know what, we're gonna game the system and
no,
do it this
you're
way.
Not. You're gaining no, an you're advantage not, by using the rules. That's like saying, well, what's the point of a foul? Because if you can't defend properly and you need to foul, then you're not a good defender because you had to commit an illegal act. I mean, it's a strategy.
Well, it's bad defense to foul, isn't it?
No, it's not
if the guy didn't make his free throws. Then it's fantastic.
Let's put this in Vegas terms for you right now, Nate. They're playing the odds. They're taking a gamble and saying, guess what? The odds are better that in this situation, we're going to put this horrible, you know, who's the worst free throw shooter in the NBA this year? Wasn't it Andre
DeAndre Drummond? DeAndre Jordan or Andre Drummond?
I think it was Andre Drummond, but those two are the worst. I think it was in the 30s. It was in the 30%.
Dwight Howard sucks. I mean, there's a lot
and
of guys.
So it's like, okay. You're playing the odds here saying, yes, we could take a chance here and say, okay, we're going to get a stop defensively and that maybe that's the pure way to play the game. But you're saying, you know what? We also know that this guy is a complete just incompetent fool at the free throw line. Why not put him there and force him to have to change the course of the game?
You're talking about the hacker rule.
Right. I don't like it. I see where Jeff Van Gundy is coming from. Mm-hmm. I think it probably irritates the TV networks more because it extends the length of the games and all of that. And it's bad for the fans. But we're talking about money with the TV networks. I don't like it either. But the rule is there. And unless they change it, as a coach who is trying to win a basketball game, you do the thing that gives you the best odds.
Greg Popovich is very vocal about the fact that
he hates it, but he employs it.
Yeah. He hates it, but he employs it. Adam Silver says, I do not accept the premise that this rule change is cosmetic. We wouldn't have done it if it was just a cosmetic change. Nobody has suggested we won't have to revisit this, but data shows that the Hacka strategy is often used at the end of quarters to foul players who aren't even particularly bad free throw shooters to gain another possession. Some other things there too. So that we talked about the inbounds. If you're trying to inbound the ball and a foul is committed, it's a free throw, and then you go to inbound the ball again, number one. Also, intentional fouls, like jumping on a player's back, for example, that will now be an automatic flagrant foul if that happens. With all the intricacies of this, and there's great arguments on both sides, here's something that seems so unbelievably simple to me. I'd love to have Adam in this room right now and say, Adam, why don't you get rid of half of that problem? Let the player, if he looks at the ref and puts his hand on the opposition player and raises his right hand, that is the universal symbol for intention. Why not just put one hand on the player and raise the other hand? And that tells the referee you're committing an intentional foul, and there's no violence involved whatsoever. Right. That I don't.
It's kind of like a casserole.
Yes, I haven't heard one decent argument against that. If you're going to intentionally foul, have an intentional foul sign.
Well, isn't something you brought up too, like maybe give the teams the option of not having to shoot free throws? Like, hey, you can take your free throws, or you can take the ball out of bounds.
Yes.
I'm
fine with that.
I'm curious, like, who is it that really is dying on the hill of, hey, we need to see DeAndre Jordan shooting free throws? Like, why is I mean, what?
But then it's the people that are like, well, they're professional athletes. They should be able to shoot a decent clip from the free throw line.
I know, but you're like peeing into the wind to me when you do that. Like, you're not Andre Drummond and Dwight Howard. Like, for all of the bitching and moaning that people can do about these rules, those guys are never going to be great free throw shooters. And there's never going to be a league-wide average of 85% from the foul line. Like, they're always going to be there. So the answer to me is not just say, well, why don't you guys get better at free throws? It's to find a way to make the game better and not have to deal with that.
No, see, that's where I have the issue, because a coach's job strategy is to accentuate your strengths
and attack the other team's weaknesses. So if a guy can't go to his right, that's how you defend him. If a guy doesn't have a good first step, you play up on him. So there are, to your point, though, Nate, there are certain things that athletes, that NBA players cannot do, whether it's make a free throw or go to their left. Why would we adjust the game because of their deficiencies? That's the other coach's job, to either not have that player in the game or to find a way to beat that system. Do I want to watch? I may be in the minority here. In fact, I think I'm big time in the minority. I enjoy watching Andre Drummond and DeAndre Jordan brick free throws. I really do. I enjoy it.
I got other crap to do.
I 100% enjoy it.
I don't want to watch a four-hour basketball game. Because that's what I agree with everything
you
do. Say, but the bottom line for me is I don't want to watch it. Because you're right. Like, what are we going to lower the rim now if guys stop dunking? You know, things
sure,
like that. We
yeah,
move the three-point line in. You know, whatever it might be.
I don't want to watch an intentional walk. That's not fun to me.
Right. I think that's silly, too. So I just, in that case.
Why don't we just hold up four fingers and let the guy take first base instead of making four pitches?
Fine by me. Every other baseball league on the planet does it that way, but at least not at a professional level.
You know, the quicker the game, though, the quicker I have to go back and deal with my wife and kids. So part of me loves the hack.
The fact that this rule is in place, this was something that, and it starts out, it became Hack-a-Shack because it the first time it was ever really employed on at the level that it is today was with Shaquille O'Neal, because Dan couldn't shoot free throws. And from that point, they have ran with it. Teams have used it. They've employed it. The strategy works more times than it doesn't work. But I like the fact that the NBA is trying to adjust the rules to clean it up a little bit, because you don't want to see this happening the entire game. And it could, that would make for a 4-hour game, Nate, but end of the game situations, things like that, when, you know, the possessions seem to matter a little bit more than, you know, the second possession of the second quarter,
right?
It doesn't matter. I like that they're trying to change it. I don't think that they should get rid of it completely. They do need to modify it. So guess what?
It's okay to try to progress, right?
Yes.
I mean,
it's okay to try to progress.
We'll see if it changes
people don't like.
It's okay to try to progress. What's dangerous about that statement is that that's allowing for the assumption that this rule is a progression.
And
that's opinion based. It is different.
And
so would eliminating the 3-point line. That doesn't mean it's good for the game. There are some people that would argue it is. I'm saying I'm not ready to say this is progress. I appreciate that the NBA is a progressive league and that they're willing to address issues, but we differ on the Hacker thing. So for me, this is possibly a regression.
So you would like to see it stay the way it is?
Yes. I want to see it the way it is. I acknowledge Nate and others' points about how it is not the most fun thing to watch, how it is exploiting a rule. But here's a big problem.
I don't even like free throws to begin with. Give them 2 points and go back down the floor.
Here's the other thing.
Why have officials? Let's just call your own fouls.
I only like free throws when I play because it's the only breather I get. Other than that.
But here's part of that. You know,
I fast forward through them on the DVR. You know, one click on the thing gets you 2 free throws,
yeah.
Right?
And I can never get the 30-second timer down.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing politics in the last hour in sports. This is kind of a political thing where they pass a bill, but then they attach some weird stuff to the bill that passes kind of quietly with it. I think maybe the biggest problem I have with these changes, other than not having an intentional foul sign, is if you're trying to inbound the ball and a foul is committed while you're trying to inbound the ball, it's a free throw and you retain possession. Well, hold on a second, though. I think that takes away a big-time weapon out of a coach's arsenal. I think it's a very smart move, especially late in a game. Yep. If I want to see how the other team is lining up,
yes,
and maybe I don't have the right matchup or my guys are out of position, you call the foul, you now know what play they were calling. It's almost like
you use your delay of game, if you have it.
I guess that's where you can go, what if you don't have that? That's the problem. And part of the thing here, and this ties into the whole Hacka thing and all that stuff, maybe I would have rather seen them adjust it this way. Instead of the retention of the ball, retaining possession, first off, there is a fail-safe in a sense. It's a bad fail-safe, but there's 6 fouls allowed in the game before you foul out. So there's a tiny fail-safe there. I would almost rather see them do something where you don't retain possession. You know, they go to the free throw line, but the foul committed and away from the ball foul is 2 fouls. I'd almost rather see that. I'd almost rather see that as being a double foul and you get 2 fouls instead of 1. I'm almost more fine with that. So I have some proposals for you guys. Go ahead, Katie.
How would you feel about technical fouls counting as personal fouls?
Well, don't they at just about every other level?
That's a tough question. I don't know, because personally, I don't like seeing players foul out of games. I like seeing players play the game. I understand.
I don't know. I'm with you, but I don't think you should get 6 fouls and 2 technicals.
No, you're probably right. I just, you're right. I just, if a guy argues with a ref early on in the game and the ref, maybe is a little bit hot-headed on his own or misread it, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, the guy has a, it just changes so much of the strategy when a guy's in foul trouble.
And one of the issues with it is that if that is the case and you're fouling people out because you're including technical fouls and then the technical foul gets rescinded.
Yeah, guess what? Yes. You already fouled out of the game. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 on this next question I'm going to ask if you have ideas. I'll run these by you guys. I was writing some notes last night. There's one big one I'm forgetting that I've been wanting to talk about for a couple weeks. If I was Adam Silver, if you guys were Adam Silver, what potential rules might you replace or add? One thing I've often talked about has been, I think if you have not fouled out of the game and the game goes to overtime, you should be awarded an extra foul.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You get 6 fouls to foul out. If you have 4 fouls and it goes to overtime, you're allowed 7. Now, that doesn't change for double or triple. You get 1, but much like you get extra timeouts, et cetera, I think you should get 1 more foul. This one's a little more controversial. I think a jump ball is so stupid.
Let there be
a possession arrow in the NBA.
Yeah.
Jump the ball. There's a lot of – but I'll tell you something. There's a lot of pushback from fans on that who don't want anything to do with the possession arrow. I put that on Twitter about a month ago, and I was shocked. It was not quite overwhelming, but very whelming, the amount of pushback from people that wanted nothing to do with jump the ball to start the game.
I know, but it's nonsense. Like, they can't do it. The guys are the referees cannot throw the ball correctly.
Yeah.
Like, and then you've got that poor guy in college, was it like 2 years ago or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That one of the players came down with his elbow on top of his head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
There's no reason for that.
No.
I mean, I know it's like, hey, think of the children, whatever. But, like, I don't know. To me, that's a nonsense play in the NBA. It makes sense when you've got 6'5" high schoolers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or something like that. But those guys are too big. The referees, it's so awkward. Like, it's not even like a natural motion that any of them use to get the ball up in the air. They're like kind of awkward, and it always goes up about 2 inches and off to the. I'm with you.
One that I know is definitely a lot more pushback, but it's just for me. I think a player should be able to play at any age. I think if an NBA team wants to sign, draft, and play a 16-year-old kid, I think they should be able to do that.
Yeah.
Huh. Now, there's obviously labor laws. I understand maybe the kid can't play after 9 p.m.
Right? He has to get a work permit. Yeah. Mom has to drive him to the
game. I don't think we're going
to
see too many 17- and 16-year-olds play, but I'm a big proponent of if you can play in the NBA and you're drafted and you're good enough to be signed and paid, then who are we to say you cannot play?
I'm with you. The current structure as it is not equipped for something like that.
No.
But I'm with you. I would like to see a model a little bit more similar to what you see overseas where these teams have youth academies.
Sure.
And, you know, yeah. And they're like actually doing things other than just,
so
hey, here's a bunch of money.
Turn the D-League into basically like a high school team?
Or like an actual minor league, yeah, instead of just like, you know, using college as your minor league.
Before your point, though, here, just to finish on what you're saying, if there was an academy, though, there would have to be a rule, in my opinion, that if you're not on the active roster, any other team can draft that player out of your academy at any time if they choose to make a pick. In other words, right, we're not going to have the Lakers or the Bulls or the Heat grabbing all the cool high school players and hoarding them because they're a super team.
Right.
You have to be able to have rights to that player.
Rule 5 draft
something like
every
that.
Year.
Absolutely.
This guy on Twitter just said to us all, a technical foul isn't a personal foul. The player didn't foul anyone, just the ref's feelings. But that's not exactly true.
What about double technicals?
Yeah. In terms of, you know, the kind of physical fighting between players.
Or mental fighting.
Mental fighting. That's the worst.
That's huge.
It's a big thing,
you know,
word
sticks and stones.
Yes, exactly. Right. But no, I mean, a lot of them are because of excessive physicality,
sure,
is where the technical comes from. So that's not exactly true. But again, you go into this thing with things being rescinded. Nothing is ever rescinded based on a technical foul because a player said something.
No, that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
Here's one. What about adding a 4-point shot? 4-point shot, the line would basically be at the bottom right around of the logo at mid-court, which means full court heaves, stuff like that would be 4-point
like
shots.
You should take the corner threes out of the game, too. If we're going to do that, really do it. Take the corner three out,
that.
Make it a two.
I'm fine with that.
But you know what? Officials have a hard enough time calling the game right now. How the heck are they supposed to get, like, oh my gosh, was 1 foot on the 3-point line and 1 foot was on the 2-point line? It's crazy.
Hold, where are you putting this line?
The 4-point line?
Yeah.
I'd say that the line, it would be a straight line, obviously, across. Okay, not an arc. It would be a straight line across. And I'd say it's somewhere just south of the logo at center court.
I think one of the things we're overlooking is the way that's going to change the spacing of the game and ultimately change the game entirely. When you have, because teams will creep out further and further over the years.
You think there's a lot of people that are going to take 4-point shots?
I think they've already done it with the, well, look at what's happened with the 3-point shot over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to, you know, 10 years, if you have a 4-point shot, there's going to be the next Steph Curry.
Okay.
There's going to be some kid that grew up doing that.
You think that's a bad thing?
Well,
if that happens?
No, what I'm saying is just, it would change the game, like the entire format of the game. Whereas now suddenly the offense is taking place 50 feet from the basket.
Mm-hmm.
That, what does that do for spacing? I mean, now you're kind of turning it into a bit of a Loyola Marymount type
of
game.
Do you think the same question was asked when they introduced a 3-point line? It has changed the game and it has spaced it out. Do you think the 3-point line is bad for the game? I'm asking you.
No, I know. You're not as extreme as – it's opened up the game slightly but, I mean, still, even before, you had to have some degree of spacing, whether it was all the way 23 feet out or you were, you know, getting your entry pass 18 feet out. You still had to have some semblance of spacing, you know what I mean? Like, so to move everything out like that, I think you would create such an offensive heavy league, not just because there's a 4-point shot, but because it's going to be so difficult for teams. Like, there's a reason we don't see teams run half court, full court, three quarter court presses all game long, every game, because it's tough to defend 90 feet in the NBA.
Yeah.
You got to back down your defense a little bit because it takes 5 guys to defend one. I'm just trying to look ahead to that.
Sure.
And,
I don't know.
You know, like 130 to 125 average scores every night, I think.
With a 4-point line?
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't think it'll make that big of a difference.
I don't think it's going to be used that much.
It's not because people will defend and open up the defense. Yes,
and
I'm,
see,
I'm saying there's going to be way too many driving lanes.
I don't think it's going to change the game that much. I think the difference is where it would.
not gonna. I'm not gonna assume right. that this is.
It ain't happening.
Yes, it's not gonna happen. But if it were to happen, where it would really change the game is a lot of these shots are coming either at the end of a quarter, and probably I'm willing to say a higher percentage of them are coming at the end of a game. When a team is down, they don't have enough time, they put up a Hail Mary. What will change it is teams winning versus forcing overtimes.
All right, what about this? Because we have to break here. This is, again, one of those, in my world, it's a no-brainer. My world is a complete no-brainer, and I don't know why they haven't done it. Nate, we're on the same team. I pass you the ball. You go up for the shot. You're fouled. You make two free throws. I get an assist.
Yes.
I get an assist.
Okay, but that's being in love with stats.
Well,
I don't care.
Yeah. Sure.
I get that, but I also
I see your
assist on a pass off a free throw and raise you an assist for a great screen. I'm
that's
serious.
Silly.
A wide open look. That's silly.
What is that?
Like, is that like some sort of WNBA thing or something?
For a moment there,
a girl Dave thing
had
is
a
that?
Look on his face, like, what is a screen? Yeah, we don't see them very much in the NBA.
And then finally, I would like to also see in the CBA. They're going to opt out of the CBA. It goes for a while, but they can opt out. It's mutual opt out this next summer, the summer of 2017.
Yeah.
Expect there to be an opt out. I would like to see some more adjustment on the bird rights. I'd like to see an even stronger advantage given to the current team re-signing that player. And Adam Silver talks about Kevin Durant. We'll get to those comments next.
Not very labor-friendly, Dave.
You're very labor-friendly.
It's 8:26, time to drive safe. But if you're in an accident, go ahead, visit Gamboas.com for a free online estimate.
From the 916, you guys are silly. How about if it swishes, you get 5 points?
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Adam Silver commenting on Kevin Durant and how good and or bad that is for the game. We'll do that next on The Drive, live from Vegas on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Here's a little psychological fact for you, Dave, from the old tweeter machine. You know, we were talking earlier about the rules in basketball and the change, obviously, to the last 2 minutes and so on and so forth. With the Hacka rule, which you think is making it worse, not better, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Schlimbesserung.
What?
Am I saying it right, you think?
Oh, I doubt it.
Schlimbesserung is a German word used to describe an effort to make things better that actually end up making things worse. Schlimbesserung. We're very, you know, worldly on this show. We speak all of the languages. Schlimbesserung.
Adam Silver thinks that Kevin Durant signing with the Warriors might be
Schlimbesserung.
Yeah, exactly. He talks about super teams.
I don't think it's good for the league, just to be really clear. We have the greatest collection of basketball players in the world in our league, and so I'm not making any predictions, but there's no question. When you aggregate a group of great players, they have a better chance of winning than many other teams.
So
did they not see this coming with the TV money coming into play?
Well, and he is going to get to that in just a second. Here he is on the Warriors specifically.
On the other hand, there's lots of things that have to happen. We'll see what happens in Golden State. You had a great, great chemistry among a group of players, and you're adding another superstar to the mix. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, and with that Kevin Durant thing, which I think shocked a lot of people, Howard Beck is being told by sources that a Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
Trade could happen sooner rather than later.
Get her done, Vlade.
Mm-hmm.
There's your point guard.
Solves all your problems.
If you're Sam Presti of the Oklahoma City Thunder and you know you have to trade Russell Westbrook, he said, dude, I'm not re-signing next summer. Trade me and get something, which I respect, by the way. If you're Sam Presti and Vlade Divac calls you up, honest question, and says, we will give you any and all combination of any people on our roster with the exception of DeMarcus Cousins for Russell Westbrook. Keep in mind they can't trade draft picks. Is there a trade, if you're Sam Presti, that would make sense for Westbrook?
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, does he want Rudy Gay and
Literally, Willie Cauley-Stein, all three youngsters from the draft, all four.
You can't.
Sure. Rudy Gay, there's not.
It's just
It would have to be DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah. It absolutely would. Unless the Thunder had like two or three contracts that were the most horrific contracts in the world and had to get rid of them, which because of the CBA and the money they don't anymore. Adam Silver does, however, want to make sure everyone knows he respects players' rights to become free agents.
Me, as I just discussed earlier, Part of it is designing a collective bargaining agreement that encourages the distribution of great players throughout the league. On the other hand, I absolutely respect the player's right to become a free agent, and in this case for Kevin Durant to make a decision that he feels is best for him.
And finally, to your point, Katie, about the CBA and all that, Adam Silver addressed that.
The good news is that we are in a collective bargaining cycle, so it gives everybody an opportunity, owners and the union, to sit down behind closed doors and take a fresh look at the system and see if there is a better way that we can do it. My belief is we can make it better.
We've talked about this before. Somebody on Twitter during the break asked if David Stern were still a commissioner, would he have allowed the Kevin Durant move to the Warriors? My response, huh?
He wouldn't have a choice.
Well, I believe he's the tweeter is referring to, and I've heard this before,
is
the Chris Paul basketball reasons, and we've talked about this before. The New Orleans Hornets were for sale at the time. He was their biggest asset, and the NBA was the caretaker. They owned that franchise. That wasn't necessarily about the Lakers being too good. I think that really was about, we're trying to sell this team and we don't want this team depleting its assets right now when we're actually in conversations with a guy who ended up being Tom Benson, who now owns the team. And the NBA and David Stern were always very good about that. And then shockingly, they got the number one pick in the draft the year they were bought, which turned out to be Anthony Davis.
So that's kind of one of the things I was going to, it's the Warriors didn't fleece anyone. They, like, the Warriors didn't game the system or do, Adam Silver kind of referenced it. There were a lot of things that had to go right for this to happen. And that started with planning for something like this a couple of years ago, if you're the Warriors.
Sure. And speaking of the Warriors, by the way, here's Draymond Green, who had a little bit of an issue with some off-court assault for a change.
When things happen, you know, I think you meet them head on. My legal team is handling it. It'll be resolved really quickly. And, you know, as a public figure, I just can't put myself in certain situations, you know. So it's something that I learned from and just move on.
Sorry, what happened?
Well, Draymond Green was charged with assault for allegedly assaulting a heckler.
He slapped a guy, didn't he?
Yes.
Allegedly.
Right. Now,
which I'm assuming is on, like, cell phone video.
Because that's
basically how things happen these days. You can't get away with anything. There's video everywhere, people.
You know, violence is never the answer.
No.
It's never the answer. But of all the violency things that if I had to rank violence and on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being that violence I'm a fan of, and 10 being that's abhorrent and there's no place for that in our society, whereas 1 would be like UFCs and boxing and stuff like that as far as violence, hits, and hockey, I think 3 would be when hecklers get slapped.
Slapped, open hand.
No punching, no injuries. But if you're going to be a ding dong,
no
just a
smack.
And we don't know what this guy said. This is like when Scottie Pippen was having dinner, the old story. He was having dinner with his family, and the guy came up to him and asked for an autograph. And Scottie said, you know, we'll do it later or whatever. I'm eating right now. And the guy got all crazy and called him the N word, and Scottie slapped the guy. Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Good for you, Scotty. Slap him. Backhand slap him even, just to make it even worse, like the old posters. So as much as I like to have fun with Draymond Green in the sense of how Draymond gets away with some things that perhaps and just for Kings fans, I'll throw this out there because it's me. Of course, if DeMarcus Cousins went back to Kentucky and did something like that, it'd be like Ted Koppel, Nightline, special report, DeMarcus Cousins out of control. I get that, but in this case, it's a heckler.
You know what? Here's my thing. I'm not condoning violence in any way, shape, or form.
Sounds like you're about to.
I'm not.
No offense.
My question is, what? Just because you can't openly hand slap somebody that's just acting a fool and insulting you. Is verbal assault, when is that going to be something? People, because of things like this, because Draymond Green is a public figure, and I don't know exactly what happened. Say he, you know, open hand slapped this fool for being just a D-bag, right? Which I think a lot of us can say, you know what? That's probably okay. Mm-hmm. All right, it's probably okay because this guy had it coming to him, or whatever. It's not.
By the way, just to clarify, we didn't say this, and I think it's understood. But also, heckler has to be a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just to be clear, if heckler's a girl, but no, you, no, that's not acceptable.
People say things, whether it's in person heckling, you know, people or on Twitter. It's like, come on now. People get away with saying so much now because they're protected. They get away with acting like complete fools.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh, God. And I don't like it, but it's like, I don't know. I'm with you, Dave.
Well, let me ask you this,
guys. To a certain degree.
Simple assault and battery in the state of Michigan, which is what he's facing. These are the following possible penalties. Up to 93 days in jail, a fine up to $500, or both.
Or both.
Probation up to 2 years, and restitution. Here's my point is this. Draymond Green is not going to do any jail time.
No.
Was that worth $500? Probably.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do it again.
And it doesn't go on your permanent record,
no.
Correct? Because it's...
I don't know about that.
The spokesman for the East Lansing Police Department.
Draymond Green.
Spokesman said he couldn't confirm whether the alleged assault was a punch or a slap, but said it was not a shove and there were no injuries. That's not the best part of the story. The best part of the story is the spokesman's name is Lieutenant Scott Wrigglesworth. Doesn't that sound like a rich guy's cat?
Wrigglesworth.
Hi, this is the whole thing.
Sergeant
like this is my cat, Lieutenant Scott Wrigglesworth.
It's like CeeLo Green's cat that he has with him all the time, right?
Yeah, that's Lieutenant Scott Wrigglesworth. Hi, how are you doing? Hello, can you meow for me? Meow. Very good. And that's how the cat meows, too. Meow.
Meow.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Greg Popovich will talk Tim Duncan to close out the program.
It's 8:43. It's time to drive safe. But if you're in an accident, visit gambos.com for a free online estimate.
Lieutenant Scott Wrigglesworth. We'll take a break. We'll finish the show next with Greg Popovich on your home
not
of the Kings.
Not much for your Wrigglesworth.
Sports 1140, not much. KHDK. While we still have some time, here's Greg Popovich on Timmy Duncan.
He's the same person he is now. And in that respect, he is. He's grown as a person, as we all do, through experiences. But his inner core... he was over himself when he came in, and after all these accolades and all this success, he's still gotten over himself. Hasn't changed a lick.
They cut this up, and by they, I mean the little service that sends us sound. They cut this up wrong. That was a broader statement in which Greg Popovich said he made a promise to Tim Duncan's dad before he passed away to make sure he stayed grounded and humble. And the tale of that was, yes, he's the same guy since he came into the league. Here's Greg Popovich more on Tim Duncan.
You know, everybody always talks about who they like to eat dinner with. You know, if you had one night and you could go to dinner or go to lunch with so-and-so, who would you like to do it with? And people say, you know, Mother Teresa and Jesus and the Dalai Lama. My dinner would be with Timmy. And it would be because he's the most real, consistent, true person I've ever met in my life.
While he was at it, Coach Pop got to...
He sounded very emotional.
He had to stop a few times. I watched the whole thing. He had to stop a couple times.
Great.
He did address the writers, though, and the people in the media and how fond he is of them.
I read an article yesterday. I don't do that very often because most of what you all write is junk. So I don't read it very much. But this was by Jason Gay from the Wall Street Journal. And he pretty much got it right on the head. He said that, to quote him, I think he said, he hid in plain sight better than anybody he'd ever seen.
Hey, if you're Jason Gay, by the way, and you wrote that article, like, how much are you calling all of your writer friends right now and be like, what's up?
Happening. Name on the back of the jersey.
That I have that on my tombstone. Like, seriously, if I'm Jason, I'm like, Jason Gay, got it. Pretty much right on the head. Greg Popovich. It's seriously. You know, that's like the devil taking you to a vacation of the Arctic Circle. It just does not happen.
I think, you know, what's... something we didn't talk about is that Tim Duncan, like, kind of started playing basketball by accident. If it wasn't for Hurricane Hugo wiping out his childhood swimming pool on St. Croix, he would have never picked up the game.
He was a swimmer.
The hurricane killed his swimming pool. He was like an Olympic hopeful swimmer, and he couldn't swim anymore. So he's like, yeah, maybe I'll try out this basketball thing. And by the way, another underrated element of Tim Duncan, his fashion sense. Consistently for 20 years, dressing like the 19-year-old captain of the chess club.
There's the joke that he sent. He sent out a fax about his retirement while watching Ken Burns documentaries and ironing his blue jeans. Which makes sense.
Hey, from, huh? I can get down with Ken Burns documentary.
It's one of the best things to fall asleep to on Netflix. Hey. I cannot tell you how many times I've fallen asleep to either the Dust Bowl or baseball seventh inning or whatever.
World War II, it's like a 20-hour yes. documentary. Maybe the best thing I've ever seen.
Another documentary on, I think I've talked to you guys about this. It's a series going on right now. If you haven't checked out the CNN's decades, the 70s, the 60s, yeah. the 80s, phenomenal. That's produced by Tom Hanks. Our thanks to everyone down here at CBS Las Vegas, Tracy, for taking care of us all week long. We really appreciate that. And, of course, Jiffy Lube. Your summer starts with Jiffy Lube. Take care of them. They take care of us. JiffyLubeCA.com. Katie and Nate back tomorrow. I am on vacation till Tuesday, so enjoy less of my mumbling. For everybody involved, we're on a plane back tomorrow. Thanks so much, and enjoy the rest of your broadcast day on Sports 1140 KHDK.